Hello, everyone, and welcome back to E-commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. Today, we're joined by a special guest, Leo Martinez, Program Director for Etail Toronto, Etail London, and Etail Palm Springs. With over 13 years in the events industry, Leo has produced high-impact conferences across retail, technology, finance, supply chain, and so much more. Recognized as a thought leader, he specializes in aligning strategy with operations to create meaningful, results-driven events. In this episode, Leo joins our CEO, Dr. Ari Khan, to explore how AI is shaping industry events, the evolving expectations of different generations, and what it means for the future of engagement. So without waiting any longer, let's get right into it.
Leo, great to see you again. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show, Ari.
So you just got back from Palm Springs for Etail West with the AI Summit. How'd it go?
I mean, amazing feedback that we're getting. It's been 2 weeks away now from Palm Springs that it wrapped up. But last year, it was a record-breaking year because it was our 25th year anniversary. And this year, again, we broke records in terms of attendance, the number of speakers on the program, the number of sponsors as well. And like you mentioned, we also had new for Etail Palm Springs, the Artificial Intelligence Summit. So,
you know, one of the amazing things that has really happened in the last year is AI became real. You know, you have customers that are actually generating online revenue with AI. It's cleaning up their catalogs. It's doing a ton of stuff. At the AI Summit, it must have been pretty amazing. Did you have customers doing real-world use cases and showing off the real thing?
I mean, definitely. That's what they want to hear, and that's what they want to see nowadays, right? So, you know, going back 2-3 years ago, in the research process for Etail events, Palm Springs, the Boston Show, London, whatnot, obviously there was a lot of buzz around AI, right? Especially during pandemic days. Everyone wanted to jump on that bandwagon, right? And part of the research process, we speak with tech solution providers, but also the retail executives. From the retail executive side, they're like, oh, you know, I'm getting pressured from my leadership team. How can we use AI? Let's, you know, adopt AI. But then in research and in talking to the tech providers, they're like, okay, hold your horses, right? Because it was either two scenarios. One, they already had AI in place because AI is nothing new. It's been around for decades, the technology itself, right? But the retail executive just didn't realize it at the point in time, that it was actually AI. Or secondly, was that the case in which the retailer didn't have the ecosystem in place, the e-com technology stack in place to even adopt AI, right? So 2-3 years ago, there was like a whole education process. Okay, this is what AI is. This is what it can do. But also, is it realistic for you to actually implement it internally across your digital infrastructure, right? Now, present day, to your point, Ari, yes, there are a ton of use cases out there on AI. And that was definitely one of the highlights that we have at the Artificial Intelligence Summit 2 weeks ago at Etail Palm Springs.
You know, one of the amazing things is I've got this report here from Gartner that talks about, in this case, it's agentic AI. But what this is telling us is that the question is, do you believe agentic AI, with its capability to autonomously plan and act, will fundamentally change the way your organization operates in 2028. And we've got 23% selecting very likely and 50% selecting likely, which is showing us the level of confidence that exists today in artificial intelligence. And this is actually the most cutting edge part of artificial intelligence, the agentic half of it. And it looks like people are ready to go.
I mean, well, agentic AI is not your average AI system, right? Agentic AI is, for the most part, autonomous, right? It can operate with very little human guidance, and also is able to adapt. So agentic AI can adapt to, you know, the learnings. It can redefine its algorithms as well, and is also goal-oriented as well, right? So you can program your agentic AI to have clear objectives. You know, one example is, if you look at smart home systems and apps nowadays, right? Some of them leverage agentic AI where you integrate it with other home apps to control your heat, your lighting, room temperature as well, right? That's a good example of how agentic AI It's not your average AI.
Right. And just a few years ago, that wasn't available. And today, people are comfortable with it. In the retail space, there's a lot of analogies to being able to control the temperature. Not that being able to control the temperature isn't relevant for retail as well. You want it to go down at night when everybody's gone and come back up in the day or whatever. And everything from managing inventory, changing promotions on screens when people come into the physical store itself, and then the whole online half of it all can now be automated with agentic system. And that's going to become even more and more prevalent. And it looks like consumers are ready. Yes. It looks like vendors, retailers are ready. It's really going to be an amazing next couple of years.
I mean, not only are consumers ready for AI, but that is the expectation already. Yeah, a lot of consumers nowadays expect AI to be personalized to their own customer journey, right? And when you look at Millennials and Gen Z, they completely change how the consumer behavior. They completely changed it during the pandemic days. Obviously, everyone was quarantined, ordering online, e-commerce took a boost, right? But yeah, there's a lot of expectations around AI nowadays, but also it has its pros and its cons, right? Some of the cons being around the trust around AI. You know, where is my data coming from? How are you accessing it? And at the same time, having human-centric AI, specifically authentic AI, right? Again, personalization. So AI was a big topic at Palm Springs, right? We did have that AI summit. However, regardless of the topic that we touched upon, AI was always a topic in the conversation, right? And as a theme with AI was also personalization. So personalizing the customer experience.
Yeah, I think that the next step from personalization is going to become deep fake, where we find that best salesperson and fake that one with AI and have that one sell to everybody in our retail stores.
I mean, it's funny, but it's also the reality. I mean, maybe not in e-commerce right now, but there is a lot of deep fake AI out there in this present day. So yes, you're absolutely right.
Definitely is. Now, Etail Boston is coming up, so you guys are doubling down on this, and I'm sure AI is going to be all over that. When is Etail Boston? Tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
So Etail Boston is our East Coast show, right? That event is scheduled for August 11th through the 14th at the Sheraton Boston Hotel. Palm Springs is the biggest show with 3,000 attendees. At Boston, we expect anywhere around 1,700 up to 2,000 attendees, right? But my colleague, we just came back from Palm Springs, my colleague Liz Rebelard, who's the portfolio director on Etail, and also Kristen Shorenstein, who's our chief of staff, they're currently all hands on deck on getting the ball rolling with the program.
Wow, and you got 5 months left.
No, yes, I mean, the amount of speakers already in the program is amazing. Again, it's a record-breaking year for Etail. It is 5 months for the event to take place. However, just some background context, we usually take around 9 to 11 months to produce each show, Boston and Palm Springs. So yes, it's all hands on deck, but the reality of the situation is the team already started on the Boston show since December of last year. Pretty much.
Wow.
It's year-round.
I guess these shows don't just happen by themselves when you need to get 2,000 people together and make it all run smoothly, right?
Correct. But you know, we have some amazing keynotes coming in, amazing speakers as well. For the Boston show, we have the chief digital officer from IKEA joining us. We also have the EVP of marketing and e-commerce from Michaels, the VP of digital from Lowe's and Crocs. But you know, with Etail, part of its success and how we designed the show is that, of course, we definitely have those large box retailers, right? Those established retail brands on the speaking faculty and who attend the show. But we also invite those rising stars. So there are those emerging brands already. And that is by design, because I'm sure you'll agree, Ari, that even when it comes to AI, where we're seeing a lot of growth is from these rising stars, these emerging brands, right? They're completely disrupting the space as to AI use cases on social commerce, content creation, right? Conversational AI as well. So yeah, so that's part of the design, where we also have those founders and those emerging brands coming in for the Boston show. And, you know, again, whole new year for Etel is part of our rebrand as well, a whole new on-site experience. So we had that at Palm Springs with the AI Summit. For the Boston show, is going to continue. Of course, the AI Summit is going to be part of Etel Boston. But we also have, unique to the Boston show, we're doing store tours. So we're actually going to be visiting some retail locations in the Boston area, some behind the scenes at these shops, right? We're bringing back the Etel Award ceremony for the Boston show as well. And, you know, continue on with the career building workshops, the retailer only roundtable discussion. So it's a lot going on those, across those 4 days, August the 11th through the 14th.
That's great that you're going to have the on-site tours. That is really fantastic. That's a lot of value for the people that attend. I love that you've got so many emerging brands, and you have the headliners, the Crocs and the Lowe's and the Michaels, who are able to show what the big boys are doing. But all of this advances in artificial intelligence, especially in the e-tail space, levels the playing field and allows emerging brands to really compete. And some of them will be breakouts, and they'll be able to see what Lowe's is doing, build on it, innovate without having to have a huge budget, and make a big name for themselves. So seeing that on site, interacting with leaders and those major retailers is going to be huge for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the emerging brands are hungry for growth. Yes, they may not have their budgets, but at the same time, you know, the research and the data speaks for itself. They are the driving force behind a lot of the AI use cases, especially when it comes to social commerce. So,
Yeah, I mean, Lowe's is going to grow next year, but they're not going to double or triple in size. That's impossible. And the emergers can, and AI can get them there. And finding out what Lowe's is doing and implementing some of that and innovating around it and doing some other things can make it all a big reality for the next, you know, 12 months or so.
Yes, I mean, it's a very rapidly evolving space, AI applications in e-commerce, right? Just looking at the next frontier of AI applications and use cases, you know, for me, I'm interested to hear more from retailers. Okay, how are you using it for conversational purposes, right? Like nowadays, you know, even not pertaining to e-commerce, but like a lot of folks use AI on a daily basis, right? On your mobile phone, on Teams platforms for business meetings, right? You cannot make it to the doctor nowadays. Now you have, you know, telehealth AI. So yeah, it's AI is here to stay, definitely.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, I think that, you know, in the online world, you have a lot of times a chatbot or the search dialogue box that really becomes the salesperson for your online store. And your online store is often your largest store. And empowering that dialogue box to communicate, to create a human interface that is human-like, that is intelligent, that can read between the lines and understand the shopper's true intent is becoming a reality today. And that's going to allow these smaller companies to break out and get into the big leagues.
Yes, and it works both ways, because conversational, you know, chatbots, yes, are important, especially several folks, depending on the generation that you ask, right? There's several folks out there are not a fan of talking to a real life person anymore nowadays, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure.
Unfortunately. So, you know, like the Gen Alphas, the Gen Zers, okay, let me just do this via chatbot. But at the same time, on the flip side is, okay, the whole data aspect, right? The data is the cornerstone in order for AI to be successful. If you don't have the right data in place, it's just simply not going to work. And this is something that was not only spoken on site at Etel Palm Springs 2 weeks ago, it comes up again and again in our research process, right? So data is absolutely key in any type of AI adoption, especially if you want to set a clear AI strategy.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. And we run into it all the time with HawkSearch, where the customer will have a product catalog, which is fine for telephonic sales and for getting a fax and for small things. But the sparseness of the data, just missing fields and incorrect data. When it comes to automating and bringing AI into it, those issues can really result in someone not getting their products on the page that they need, that they want to buy, and lost sales. So fixing that data is a huge challenge for a lot of companies. And the bigger the company, the bigger the problem, or the older the company, the bigger the problem also, because you have a lot of legacy information. We actually, although it creates a challenge for AI systems who rely on that data and have the garbage in, garbage out phenomena, AI also helps solve some of those issues. So we have worked with companies where we feed all of their marketing material, and in some cases, even their competitors and manufacturers' material, into our AI systems, identify where there's a discrepancy or a missing point in their product catalog, and then usually it doesn't automatically replace the data. Instead, it creates a list, and you bring a human back in to confirm it. But even that is only partially correct. People need to start getting their data up to speed if they're going to embrace AI, or they're going to end up with what would be called artificial ignorance. That'll be the
there. I love that. Yes, artificial ignorance. But you know, thinking ahead, like now, you know, beyond conversational AI, there's also been conversations around consciousness and AI, and I'm like, okay, this is a whole like just mind-blowing different level. Not ready to process any of that yet. That whole consciousness, can AI have consciousness? I'm like, I don't know, but at the same time, I don't want to think about it, because that's a whole different, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of philosophy around that, and it's been played around for a while. And you know, the first challenge is defining consciousness itself in the first place, right? And then distinguishing that from intelligence. And then you get the whole ethical aspect, is that, okay, well, if you have defined consciousness and you've demonstrated that something has it, what are the ethics in relating with that, you know, that entity? Because, okay, maybe it's okay to turn it off if you can turn it back on, unlike a person where you turn them off, they're dead, and you can't turn them back on. Or maybe it's not. Someone's going to need to figure that out. But you know, there's a famous bar really on the intelligence side, not on the consciousness side, called the Turing test. And the Turing test was Alan Turing, one of the first computer scientists, had defined intelligence as being, well, if I've got a machine that I cannot distinguish from a person, then I'll call that intelligent. And that was the definition of intelligence at that point. If you can trick me, you know, if you can, you know, pick up a phone and talk to something and say, oh, I think it was a person, and, you know, then good enough, it's intelligent. But that still doesn't define consciousness. So we'll need some sort of a Turing test on the consciousness level, I suspect, to tackle that issue. But for now, we'll just work with the e-tailers and sell a bunch online.
Right, exactly. But I mean, one thing that the e-tailers are conscious of, and it is important, is the whole talent management piece, right? Mm-hmm. As a professional, like, it's not that AI is going to replace your job. It's that if you're not upskilling yourself, you're going to replace your own job, right? You're going to replace yourself. Yeah. So speaking of consciousness, yes, you have to be conscious of the fact that you need to adapt, you need to learn, and see how you can leverage AI. If it's not to operate your own, you know, to make you far more productive in your day-to-day business operations, then at least to have AI impact your customers in a positive way, right? So yeah, I mean, AI it's become also a topic of discussion across the program and the research process, the whole talent aspect, right? Several legacy retailers, so retailers have been around for decades, even close to a century now. Like, okay, like, the talent that we have in place, these data scientists and whatnot, they've been on the roll for years, but there's sort of concerns around AI. Whereas if you look at these startup emerging brands coming from California, the Tech Valley area, they're building the pipeline from these university systems, right? So it's like, yeah, having the right skill set, the right talent is critical. But also, at least how we started in our own company, like, we use AI as well for ETEL, for the development of ETEL, believe it or not, right? For video content, for even the agendas and, you know, research on topics as well. But we also like to have fun with AI as well. So I think having that fun, playful aspect with AI is a good way to get your feet wet, at least for those executives who've been in those roles for years, to just play around with AI and get comfortable with it, because it's only a matter of time where AI is going to be just completely mainstream, regardless of the industry that you're in.
Such an important message, right? I mean, from a career advancement perspective, everybody needs to just invoke some natural curiosity and grab Microsoft Copilot, grab ChatGPT, and start playing with it, and then see where it takes you from there. But if it remains foreign to you, if you haven't at least played and been curious, the world will pass you by really quickly. I think that's really important. And Etail, I don't know if you have any training sessions on AI for people, but the exposure that you get by just seeing what's going on in the Etail environment, I'm sure is going to be really helpful in just, you know, driving that awareness.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, within the AI Summit, so it's like a micro event within the beast of Etail, right? So Etail, Palm Springs, and Boston are 4-day shows, but the AI Summit is like its own micro event within the greater of things. Within the AI Summit, we have, you know, obviously your keynote presentations, your panel discussions, the roundtables as well. But to your point, Ari, we also have, you know, again, those popular AI demos. We're able to see live how, you know, the retailers are using AI, actual practical use cases, because that's always a question, you know, and that's what I always tell the solution providers or the vendors as well. I'm like, if you're having any type of content when it comes to AI, like at least either bring a retail client with you or show what are the actual benefits that the retailers get out of it. You know, they don't want to get a sales pitch, right? So having that engagement with a AI solution provider and an actual retail client on stage at the same time is of huge value to the audience, and it's something that's greatly appreciated. But yes, we also have those hands-on deep dive workshops as well when it comes to AI.
Perfect. Okay, everybody's got to go to Etail Boston and get in the AI Summit. You're going to be oversubscribed on that, but that sounds like really a must do to just make sure that you don't wake up one day and find out that a robot has your job.
Again, being conscious of the fact that you need to upskill yourself, right? Don't let that happen. You need to be conscious about it. But yeah, it is hot right now with Etail Boston. I mean, even this morning, I'm getting emails from several of the speakers and attendees who met with AI tech providers on site 2 weeks ago during those AI demos. Like, they found it of huge value. They also were able to discover new potential partners in the AI space. So very exciting for what's coming down the works for Etail Boston.
That sounds awesome, and I hate to cut off this amazing conversation, but Leo, I would love for you to share where our viewers and listeners can connect with you or find more information on Etail.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kristen. So Etail, I mean, simply just enter Etail in your search engine. Regardless of the search engine, you're going to come across Etail Boston. We're also, you know, on LinkedIn, social media. Again, just how the customers have evolved throughout the years, so have we as Etail. You can find us on Instagram, on TikTok nowadays. So, you know, we're walking and growing along the same path as our audience, the retailers. So,
awesome. And we'll be sure to include all of those links as well in the show notes, so it's easy to find. But thank you for another amazing conversation. Thank you, everybody, for tuning back in. And we will see you all next time.